from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Time to get your Lucky Buck. It's been all year round, but more so now, because you can put it out and get the deer really start coming into your area. The apple scented attractant inside Lucky Buck, plus all of the mineral properties, make it perfect for this coming bow season. Lucky-buck.com. Also, Darton Archery, HHA Sports, the number one name in single pin archery sights, and our friends at MUCC, all on board with us here today, and very happy to have them on board as well. Thanks to Detroit Tiger Anthony Goes for joining us in the first hour, talking about hunting and fishing, a couple of things that he absolutely loves, and some great tips from Fred Abbas from A-Way Hunting on the show as well about making mock scrapes and cluster scrapes and how effective they can be. Good stuff. We've got bow season coming up October 1st. We've got the reopening of Canada goose season this weekend, the early doe season this weekend, and what I want to know, and many of you want to know, what are the weather trends going to be? Are we going to have a hot October? Is it going to be hot next week as we, you know, maybe do some fishing as the steelhead? Are they going to start really making a run for the rivers? But when we wonder about weather, we just go to my good friend Andy Provenzano, local meteorologist here in the Lansing area for WILX TV 10. And Andy, let's get the question off of everybody's mind. What's October looking like? We've had a lot of El Nino talk and you know, things going on. So we as hunters want to know, because so much plays a role with the weather. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me back on. October, I think, is going to be a very variable month. We talked El Nino, the heating up of the Pacific water out there along the equator, Pacific Ocean, and that usually means a milder winter for most of the northern part of the U.S. But again, in the transition of getting there, you end up getting some, you know, some wilder weather. You'll have some rainy days, some really nice ones, and the one thing I can say, it doesn't look like October will have is setting into that cold air right away like we did last year. So it could be variable. There'll be some good ones in there, but, you know, a lot of changing wind direction and very typical October changes. We've got probably the rest of this month of running above normal, and that'll carry into parts of October. But when we look at some of those trends, it's probably one day of some rain in 60s and 50s, and then the next day some in 70s. So that's how October's shaping up at this point. I really don't see any cold air coming down out of Canada that's just going to settle in and change things more dramatically like it did last year.
Last year was a shock, because I remember Sarah and I heading up north on October 31st in Grayling. They had, in Gaylord, 3 inches of snow by the time we got there.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was crazy. And you know, and it really, for a lot of us, it really goofed up our hunting season, because, you know, some of the bow hunters weren't prepared for the cold weather. And then it got really cold later on in the season. November was kind of weird. I mean, December was kind of weird, but November really took a hit.
Yeah, you know, the pattern was so much different than it is now, that's for sure. And what we just experienced here in the first 17 days of September is a little unusual, getting 10 of them to be in the 80s. That doesn't happen very often. Last year, we had our last 80-degree day was September 5th, and then the bottom fell out to the end of the month, and October was much cooler. But when we talk about El Ninos, you've changed some of the upper-level wind patterns, and I think there's a lot of conflict as to how strong this El Nino will be. A lot of them are saying it's going to be huge. And yet I see these forecasts, Weather Service, and some of these places saying a very cold and snowy winter. And that's not doesn't add up to a normal El Nino winter. For us, it's usually somewhat milder. And you can get some snow, but you get some rain, too. There's a little conflict there. I don't see the really cold stuff yet. Maybe it'll settle in by the time we get to November and December, but I don't see it yet. But I know it's going to be pretty variable, and that's pretty common to have that kind of weather in October anyway. Then the El Nino makes it, you know, a little stronger. You get big low pressures. They come out of the West Coast, They travel the U.S.-Canadian border. We tug up warm weather one day and bring the cold weather down right behind it. And we're going to see a little bit of that here this weekend, too.
Speaking with meteorologist Andy Provenzano here on Wild Michigan. Andy, when I first heard of the El Nino effect, I'm going to guess is like 8 or 9 years ago, the first time I really paid attention to it, because there was some rains coming to parts of the United States out west that normally did not get that type of weather, and they were seeing flowers and plants that they had not seen in like a century because they've been laying dormant for so long. And now this seems to be a fluctuating pattern between the La Nina and the El Nino. It seems kind of strange, or is it just more prevalent because of, you know, news media and social media and the like?
Yeah, it certainly came into its own, I would say, probably in the 90s, late 80s, and then they talk El Nino a lot, and La Nina, which is the opposite. It's the major cooling of the Pacific Ocean. We're talking only a few degrees when we say major, but it does change weather patterns. But El Nino is, you go by, I studied it when I was in college in 1980. It was named after the Christ child because it usually develops into the late part of the year, and it's what changes wind patterns and directions on occasion to get those great coffee crops going in South America. And they named it, that monsoon, as the Christ child. And then you get the opposite. We've studied ocean temperatures more and more. Obviously, we can have more information, more data, satellites, buoys, those kind of things. And the same process takes place out in the Atlantic Ocean, which is called an ENSO. So there's a 9 possible combinations. You can be normal on one side of the coast, normal on the other, or above and normal, below and normal, but you're normal above. So you got to watch all of those. But the El Nino is what basically happens, that warmer temperatures creates a high-pressure system out there. Normally, the wind along the equator blows from east to west. That's how those hurricanes get from Africa to here. So you get that wind direction to shut down and come the other way even. So now you've got a westerly flow, and that gets California wet, that gets Texas wet, and Florida wet. It also helps India and Australia and all those other countries that are affected by wind patterns off the equator. So you get some of those stronger winds that give those plants and those areas the moisture they need. Now, how often does an El Nino happen? It can happen a lot, or it can be dormant for many times, for many, many, many years. That's all dependent on the sun and the energy coming off the sun, because that's what's ultimately heating that.
Andy Provenzano is our guest here, our good friend and meteorologist at WILX TV 10. Always great to get this information from you because, you know, we can watch the weather and then we can see if it really happens because things change. Look, you can only predict so much with, you know, with weather stations being where they are, the Doppler being, you know, dotted across the country. You can only predict so much. But to get a general idea as to what's coming, I really think is helpful. You know, we're not going to rely on this 100% because anything can change.
There's no way to ever get to the point. I don't ever see how we could ever be pinpointing exactly, but there's trends. I mean, there's certainly you can trend out whether it's going to be warmer, colder, wetter, drier. And I looked at computer models last night that carried us all the way to October 2nd, and it shows, you know, not only getting wet here Friday night, Saturday, cooling down, and the nice pleasant weather again next week, but then it shows these storm systems coming in. There's going to be quite a bit of moisture in the Northern Plains and the Great Lakes to end the month of September. And then it clears out again. So it's easier to do those trends, just like when we give a 7-day forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you what next week is going to be. If a front's coming in, I may not be able to pinpoint that the rain's coming in the afternoon versus the morning, because obviously it can slow over 7 days. But we do know that Sunday's sunny, Monday's sunny, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all sunny. Then it rains at the end of the week again, and we get back into the 70s. So trends we can do. It's trying to pinpoint something exactly. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I just don't know how you do that.
Well, you know, I'll take the information we get, and I'll hope, keep my fingers crossed for what we've got coming up in October. And again, as we get into October, I'll drag you back on here again so we can see what's going to happen for November. But Andy Provenzano, our meteorologist, appreciate you joining us, man.
Thanks. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Andy Provenzano here on Wild Michigan. More coming your way. We're going to talk about CWD, check stations, and what you're going to need to know to have your deer checked this coming season here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Darton Archery, located in Michigan, making Michigan bows for Michigan people and other people all over since, gosh, what, 65 years now they've been doing it, since 1950. So great Michigan company. We just had our friend Jerry Allen over and give him what we consider to be the very first Wild Michigan Inspiration Award for doing so much work with people that are physically disabled, to getting them out in the woods, hunting, fishing, also some of our veterans as well. And Jerry's been doing a great job, so we presented him with a Darton Viper SS bow, and very happy for all the work he's done. And it's just a very small thank you. Also included a HHA Optimizer X scope for his efforts, and it was kind of nice to see a big surprise on somebody that's done so much. Speaking with Chad Stewart right now from the Michigan DNR, on we're talking about CWD, the CWD that's been found in Meridian Township, of course, in Ingham County. We now have Ingham County closed down, Clinton County, and I believe Shiawassee closed down also for baiting right now as we go into the early doe season this weekend. Am I correct, Chad?
Yes, those are the three counties that are shut down for CWD management. Obviously, there's still no baiting up in the northeast, the TB area, 487, but as it pertains to the CWD outbreak, it's only those three counties.
Now, when we get our deer checked, because we have the early doe season in those three counties, is this going to be a mandatory check?
So it depends on where you're hunting in those three counties. If you're hunting outside of what we're calling our core CWD area, we've named that DMU 333. If you're outside of DMU 333 but still in one of those three counties, it's not a mandatory check. It's a voluntary check. If you want your deer tested for CWD, we are happy to take it. And it does help us out as far as monitoring this disease. If you are inside DMU 333, which there are six townships in Ingham, two in Clinton, and one in Shiawassee, you do have to check it at a check station, of which we have three of them set up sort of spread out.
Now, where can we find that info? Is it on the website as well for the Michigan.gov /CWD?
Yeah, go to our website, Michigan.gov/CWD. There's an interactive check station map there. It tells you the dates and locations, as well as the times that we're open. But we've also got a handout sheet, sort of like an FAQ sheet for hunters on hunters hunting in that area. The addresses are there as well. Basically, Rose Lake, Fish and Wildlife Game Area. Then we've got a property in south of Lansing, and then we've got one in Williamston.
Chad Stewart is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Now, what about the processing? How long are should we wait? I mean, are we going to have to hold off on processing for testing? And, you know, I guess these are questions that people are going to be asking.
Yeah, and those are really good questions. So once you get your deer checked in, we're telling people to go ahead and process it the way you normally do. You know, at the incidents that we're finding positive, it's very unlikely that you're going to take a CWD positive animal. So go ahead and process it the way you normally would. If you process it by yourself, obviously you just do it as you normally would with a buddy or out of your garage or however you do it. If you've taken it to a processor, I would recommend calling first. Some processors may or may not be taking deer out of Meridian Township for processing.
Mm-hmm.
So call ahead before you take your deer in, so you don't waste a trip if that particular processor isn't taking deer from Meridian Township. All we're really asking is maybe hold off on consuming that deer for just a couple days until you're sure you get a positive or negative test result back. If it's positive, which means it has CWD, we will take the deer meat from you if you wish. It's your choice. And issue you another permit to take another deer.
You know, and that's important to know, too, that, you know, should something be wrong, that we do have the opportunity to get another permit without additional cost, because there's so much misinformation when it comes around. But what I'm happy to say is I really think since our initial when we initially found CWD in Michigan back in Kent County on that private facility, that we have really taken the time to educate ourselves a bit more, although not everybody's up to speed on this, which is fair.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, we can't expect everybody to be experts on chronic wasting disease. So we try to put as much information out there, and I certainly appreciate, you know, working with individuals like yourself to help get this out, because you have a far greater reach than a lot of times we do. Just to get some of the information out there so people can be educated and can make the choices based on, you know, their own personal interests and the education that they get, the knowledge that they get.
Now, there is a specific way that the leftover materials from the deer, spine, bones, the like, have to be handled. I mean, I don't think we have the same. I know we don't have the same issues as we do out west, but are we still handling things the same way?
Well, so what's really nice about the check station that we're setting up right now is that we are going to have disposal methods and dumpsters or options for people who otherwise don't have that option. So, again, what we're asking is if you have any concern about spreading this disease, and again, keep in mind, it's very unlikely. We're not expecting a major outbreak here based on the numbers we're seeing. But you can bring your carcass to one of these check stations and drop it off in one of the dumpsters or one of the disposal bins that we have. So we're providing that outlet for hunters as well in this area, whether or not they have a positive animal or not. Otherwise, burial is the best method. And if your garbage company takes deer parts, simply bagging it up and putting it in there is a perfectly acceptable way to dispose of the material. The worst thing you can really do is to get that spinal cord and that brain tissue and just drag it out into the woods and just let it there to rot, because that's where it stays in the surface if it is a positive, and that's where the potential for spread comes in.
All right, Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR is our guest here on Wild Michigan. If you miss any of this, pick up the podcast brought to you by Carnivore Club, Meat of the Month Club, so to speak. CarnivoreClub.co, a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Chad, now where will these check stations be? I guess that's probably a question we should all know the answer to.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Ingham County area at all, we're going to have one at Rose Lake, which is our fish and wildlife area, just sort of east of East Lansing there. We'll have one there, and we expect that one to be one of our busier ones. We're also going to have one in Williamston, sort of southeast from there, at their government or township center. And then we're also going to have one in a business park just west of, I believe, 127, south of Lansing, off of basically Jolly Road, basically. But all of the addresses can be found at our website, michigan.gov/CWD. Just look at the Hunter FAQ or fact sheet, and the second page of that has their exact address. And then the times will be posted on our interactive check station map. But all of these check stations are open 7 days a week.
All right, good stuff to know. Again, michigan.gov/CWD. Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. Appreciate all the information and the updates as we get ready for early doe season here this weekend. Getting ready to do some hunting. A lot of people are. I think I'm gonna hold off on this weekend. And Chad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Duran. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Got more coming up. Confirmed gray wolf found in Michigan's northern lower. That's right. We'll get to that story coming up in a couple of minutes, plus some other things going on around the country here on Wild Michigan. And I've torn you in the big hunt before too long. Before too long.
You can join.
join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com, brought to you in part by Darton Archery, located in Michigan, making Michigan bows for Michigan people and other people all over since 65 years now. They've been doing it since 1950. So great Michigan company. We just had our friend Jerry Allen over and give him what we consider to be the very first Wild Michigan Inspiration Award for doing so much work with people that are physically disabled, to getting them out in the woods, hunting, fishing, also some of our veterans as well. And Jerry's been doing a great job, so we presented him with a Darton Viper SS bow, and very happy for all the work he's done. And it's just a very small thank you. Also included a HHA Optimizer X scope for his efforts, and it was kind of nice to see a big surprise on somebody that's done so much. Speaking with Chad Stewart right now from the Michigan DNR, we're talking about CWD, the CWD that's been found in Meridian Township, of course, in Ingham County. We now have Ingham County closed down, Clinton County, and I believe Shiawassee closed down also for baiting right now as we go into the early doe season this weekend. Am I correct, Chad?
Yes, those are the three counties that are shut down for CWD management. Obviously, there's still no baiting up in the northeast, the TB area, 487, but as it pertains to the CWD outbreak, it's only those three counties.
Now, when we get our deer checked, because we have the early doe season in those three counties, is this going to be a mandatory check?
So it depends on where you're hunting in those three counties. If you're hunting outside of what we're calling our core CWD area, we've named that DMU 333. If you're outside of DMU 333 but still in one of those three counties, it's not a mandatory check. It's a voluntary check. If you want your deer tested for CWD, we are happy to take it. And it does help us out as far as monitoring this disease. If you are inside DMU 333, which there are six townships in Ingham, two in Clinton, and one in Shiawassee, you do have to check it at a check station, of which we have three of them set up, sort of spread out.
Now, where can we find that info? Is it on the website as well for the Michigan.gov /CWD?
Yeah, go to our website, Michigan.gov/CWD. There's an interactive check station map there. It tells you the dates and locations, as well as the times that we're open. But we've also got a handout sheet, sort of like an FAQ sheet for hunters on hunters hunting in that area. The addresses are there as well. Basically, Rose Lake, Fish and Wildlife Game Area. Then we've got a property in south of Lansing, and then we've got one in Williamston.
Chad Stewart is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Now, what about the processing? How long or should we wait? I mean, are we going to have to hold off on processing for testing? And, you know, I guess these are questions that people are going to be asking.
Yeah, and those are really good questions. So once you get your deer checked in, we're telling people to go ahead and process it the way you normally do. You know, at the incidents that we're finding positive, it's very unlikely that you're going to take a CWD positive animal. So go ahead and process it the way you normally would. If you process it by yourself, obviously you just do it as you normally would with a buddy or out of your garage or however you do it. If you've taken it to a processor, I would recommend calling first. Some processors may or may not be taking deer out of Meridian Township for processing.
Mm-hmm.
So call ahead before you take your deer in, so you don't waste a trip if that particular processor isn't taking deer from Meridian Township. All we're really asking is maybe hold off on consuming that deer for just a couple days until you're sure you get a positive or negative test result back. If it's positive, which means it has CWD, we will take the deer meat from you if you wish. It's your choice. Issue you another permit to take another deer.
You know, and that's important to know, too, that, you know, should something be wrong, that we do have the opportunity to get another permit without additional cost, because there's so much misinformation when it comes around. But what I'm happy to say is I really think since our initial, when we initially found CWD in Michigan back in Kent County on that private facility, that we have really taken the time to educate ourselves a bit more, although not everybody's up to speed on this, which is fair.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, we can't expect everybody to be experts on chronic wasting disease. So we try to put as much information out there, and I certainly appreciate, you know, working with individuals like yourself to help get this out, because you have a far greater reach than a lot of times we do. Just to get some of the information out there so people can be educated and can make the choices based on, you know, their own personal interests and the education that they get, the knowledge that they get.
Now, there is a specific way that the leftover materials from the deer, spine, bones, the like, have to be handled. I mean, I don't think we have the same. I know we don't have the same issues as we do out west, but are we still handling things the same way?
So what's really nice about the check station that we're setting up right now is that we are going to have disposal methods and dumpsters or options for people who otherwise don't have that option. So, again, what we're asking is if you have any concern about spreading this disease, and again, keep in mind, it's very unlikely. We're not expecting a major outbreak here based on the numbers we're seeing. But you can bring your carcass to one of these check stations and drop it off in one of the dumpsters or one of the disposal bins that we have. So we're providing that outlet for hunters as well in this area, whether or not they have a positive animal or not. Otherwise, burial is the best method. And if your garbage company takes deer parts, simply bagging it up and putting it in there is a perfectly acceptable way to dispose of the material. The worst thing you can really do is to get that spinal cord and that brain tissue and just drag it out into the woods and just let it there to rot, because that's where it stays in the surface if it is a positive, and that's where the potential for spread comes in.
All right, Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR is our guest here on Wild Michigan. If you miss any of this, pick up the podcast brought to you by Carnivore Club, Meat of the Month Club, so to speak. CarnivoreClub.co, a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Chad, now where will these check stations be? I guess that's probably a question we should all know the answer to.
Yeah, so if you're familiar with the Ingham County area at all, we're going to have one at Rose Lake, which is our fish and wildlife area, just sort of east of East Lansing there. We'll have one there, and we expect that one to be one of our busier ones. We're also going to have one in Williamston, sort of southeast from there, at their government or township center. And then we're also going to have one in a business park just west of, I believe, 127, south of Lansing, off of basically Jolly Road, basically. But all of the addresses can be found at our website, michigan.gov/CWD. Just look at the Hunter FAQ or fact sheet, and the second page of that has their exact address. And then the times will be posted on our interactive check station map. But all of these check stations are open 7 days a week.
All right, good stuff to know. Again, michigan.gov/CWD. Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. Appreciate all the information and the updates as we get ready for early doe season here this weekend. Getting ready to do some hunting. A lot of people are. I think I'm gonna hold off on this weekend. And Chad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Duran. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Got more coming up. Confirmed gray wolf found in Michigan's northern lower. That's right. We'll get to that story coming up in a couple of minutes, plus some other things going on around the country here on Wild Michigan. And I've torn you in the big hunt before too long.
Lukowski.
And I'm Tiffany Lukowski from the Crush TV.
And you're listening to Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Lee and Tiffany off doing some elk hunting right now, and they got baby and mama with them. Love the fact Lee and Tiffany have their new baby out elk hunting, and Tiffany's mom, Linda, out there as well. And it's been a while. It's been a while since we've talked to them. Great, great people, super nice people, and very happy that they're doing so well. So we got to get them back on the show. I want to thank a couple of people. Thanks to everybody, actually, that's been on the show today. It's been a lot of fun getting caught up on CWD with Chad Stewart from the Michigan DNR. Also, we've covered, about everything this week, with the exception of fishing. Right now, of course, everybody's getting ready to do some steelhead and some king salmon fishing in the rivers as they're making their way back to the spawning grounds. And the walleye, of course, the fall walleye bite's really going to start hitting up on Erie before too long. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll get Captain Lance Valentine from Walleye 101 on. We'll talk to David A. Rose about what's going on with some of the steelhead and king salmon runs and get some tips from those guys. And also, got some interesting news, and it kind of is reminiscent. It's kind of reminiscent of like 2006 when we started the show. As we approach our ninth year, our anniversary, on September 30th, Wild Michigan turns nine. Back then, we had Proposal 3 with the dove bill we faced. We had the increase of hunting licenses we faced. Also, there was a lot of talk of cougar in Michigan, and I basically had it out with an outdoor rider friend of mine, and of course, you know, him saying that there weren't any cougar in Michigan. And my whole point was, I'm not saying that we have a breeding population. What I'm saying is we have the perfect habitat for cougar in Michigan and maybe a transient cougar to come through. Okay? Wow, look what happened. Finds out that we have, you know, after all the research and everything else, trail cam photos, confirmation, cougar in Michigan. Transient cougar coming through. It's going to happen. Okay? Now, the released by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources on Thursday, they are announcing confirmation of a gray wolf occurrence in Emmett County, making this the second confirmation of a wolf presence in the Lower Peninsula since 1910. Now, I'm taking this all from the press release from the Michigan DNR. That we posted on our Facebook page that you can get from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Late last week, the Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawa Indians received confirmation from Trent University in Peterborough, Ontario. Go Peets. That scat submitted for DNA analysis by the tribe in 2014 was exactly that from a male gray wolf. Now, genetic testing also confirmed that the wolf was not likely to be an escaped captive since it closely matched genetic information taken from Northeast Ontario wolves. In March of 2014, tribal biologists discovered tracks and collected scat from Emmett County. DNR Wildlife Division staff, when visited the site with biologists from the tribe, and agreed the tracks appeared to be from two separate wolves. Now, at that time, trail camera photos also were reviewed by the tribal biologist and the DNR staff. An image of what appeared to be a wolf was discovered. The tribe then submitted the collected scat to Trent University for DNA analysis, which led to last week's confirmation. Now, how are they getting here? There's the ice bridge theory. There's a million theories as to how they got to the Lower Peninsula. But the fact is, we have had a confirmed sighting of confirmed DNA tests in the Lower Peninsula of a gray wolf. Very interesting. We'll see how this all unfolds, because we've had so many hot button issues with the gray wolf in Michigan, the right to hunt gray wolves, the right to not hunt. A lot of it's going on. So now that the Lower Peninsula has just a tiniest bit of a stake in this, how is it going to change public perception? That is one of the questions we're going to be asking ourselves. Should we come in contact with any more All of that information, again, is on the DNR website, and we posted the article on our Facebook page, and we will have the same article on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. And always welcome your comments. If you want to put them on Facebook, you want to follow us on Twitter, all of our social media links are on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And by all means, please share your pictures of this early doe season going on this weekend, or of the early goose season, to which Anthony Goes of the Detroit Tigers, center fielder, said that he had a pretty doggone good start to the early season. We've got the second season for goose going on right now in some parts of the state. Make sure that you check your guides, your hunting guides from the Michigan DNR, so you know exactly your shooting times and your bag limits and everything else. No sense in being caught when, you know, unintentionally breaking the law. Okay, make sure that you have everything in order and all your licensing and everything else. Turkey season, fall turkey going on, small game going on, lots of things happening. Of course, the rivers are going to start heating up with kings and cohos before long, as mentioned. Also, the walleye bite as we get into October and even parts of November, the Lake Erie walleye bite is going to be on, and it's going to be trophy hunting time. And again, we'll talk with Lance Valentine from walleye101.com about that. Want to take a quick second also to thank our newest sponsor here on Wild Michigan, Carnivore Club. We've had them on the show before, and we will have them on again. Tim Ray is the CEO of Carnivore Club. An opportunity for you to get a discount on probably some of the coolest jerky ever. 100% natural jerkies. We got a box of it here a couple of weeks ago and sampled it. And believe me, when you look at the ingredients, and it's just all 100% natural ingredients, like four ingredients, meat, salt, seasonings, no preservatives or anything else. Very interesting. Small batch craft jerky. And this stuff is great to take with you out in the woods. Or I know the C word, Christmas is coming, but you know, why not? Like they say, give the gift that keeps on giving. We'll be speaking with Tim next week here from Carnivore Club, as they are welcoming them as our new podcast sponsor. And we'll be doing some reviews as well, and maybe give you an opportunity to sample some of the stuff that we're sampling. So that's going to be very cool. Now, other stories coming from the Outdoor Hub. It seems that a big deer trafficking event that's been going on, of illegal trafficking of a live whitetail, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is closing down. And after court documents were unsealed this week, federal officials announced that a Georgia man was sentenced in U.S. District Court to pay $1.6 million in fines for the illegal trafficking of live whitetail deer, according to the U.S. FWS. The largest fine ever issued for wildlife crime in U.S. history. Now, officials say that the 61-year-old Benjamin Chasen of Climax, Georgia, and another man, an Ohio resident, Donald W. Wainwright, illegally transported live deer from Florida and Georgia to Ohio. Their actions not only violated the law, but also greatly endangered the native deer population in several states, of course, because of chronic wasting disease. Okay, it's a very touchy issue. This is why we don't transport. And if you're going hunting out west, to make sure that you properly handle the carcass of your animal according to the law, especially out west, their laws are a bit more strict than ours. And hopefully we won't see any more cases here in Michigan. Now, the deer herds involved with these shipments were not certified to be free from CWD, TB, or brucellosis. The USFWS said in a press release, federal law requires interstate shipments of deer to be certified to be disease-free because the deer in the present case were not certified. Deer herds, both captive and wild, in Florida were potentially exposed to these diseases. TB and brucellosis can also be transmitted from deer to cows and humans. Man, not quite sure what these guys were thinking other than the almighty dollar. Chasen and Wainwright carried out the scheme by taking federal identification tags from certified deer that had died and placing them on their own animals. And then were charging up to $50,000 for a hunt. Again, that story coming from the Outdoor Hub. That's going to do it for this week's Wild Michigan. Thanks to all of our friends, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, Darton Archery, HHA Sports, also Costa Sunglasses, MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, and Carnivore Club, bringing you the podcast. Check them out. All of them, all listed on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Duran Martinez here on the Michigan Talk Network.